Hello and welcome to the Debrief Podcast with me, Tessa, and me, Steve, attempting to answer some questions, solve some problems,
just live some lives,
put the world to rights.
Oh yeah, big time, big time. But very specifically this week about running and how to go running. The amount of people who are like, oh, well, I went for a run this morning, and then between, you're like, you have to stop there.
Sorry, what did you do?
Stop there. Stop at that point. Can we talk about that more, please? And excitingly, this episode is sponsored by The Economist.
Ooh, doo-doo-doo.
That's The Economist trumpet.
Famously. It's brought to you by The Economist. If you haven't read The Economist before, it's not, Stevie.
For economists?
No.
Oh!
Hello.
I thought that.
First curveball out the park.
Yeah.
I would think, oh, it's just about finance and the stock market
and
money. But it's not. It's about all kinds of things. It obviously is about finance and business that's in there. But it's about so many other things.
Like technology and psychology and there's really
the
great...
arts, culture,
environment,
books, environment. Yeah. It's about so many different things. But crucially, it strips the news of all the opinions and the shouting and the arguing, and it just is giving you facts from all sides.
Cold hard facts, baby.
Cold hard facts and opinions from every angle, because I think we are so... We follow only people that we like on Twitter. Mm. We're only friends with them, so we are only ever seeing information from our side,
yeah,
or whatever you're interested in, and it's all that's doing is feeding your own opinions
all the time. It's like
all
a big echo chamber,
a massive echo chamber.
But really excitingly, all the Debrief podcast listeners, you guys get a free copy of The Economist if you go to economist.com/debrief. So you can try it for yourself and don't let us just blab on about it. Like, get some cold hard facts yourself. All you need to do is make sure you've got a UK address and you can just get a free
But if you are one of our many international listeners,
just
send it to someone you know in the UK.
Oh, really nice. Yeah,
just send it as a gift. Here is cold hard facts about The Economist. My housemate Kat used to get it every week, and now she owns her own house and is a partner in her company.
Yes, the friend that I know who has The Economist is now the richest man I know.
Right, so there we go. Yeah. Guys, we've done our market research. We only know two people who...
It's 100% success
rate. That's 100% success rate. And we're not saying that's what's going to happen, but we're pretty sure.
We're not saying
basically,
that.
Basically, we're going to put our free copy of The Economist in the downstairs bathroom. I say, like, I've got a downstairs bathroom. I only have one.
And it's on the ground floor, so
it's upstairs.
I know, it's very upstairs.
I'm going to put it in my attic bathroom, and everyone will be like, oh...
Hello.
Oh, I see you read The Economist.
Are you a homeowner? No.
But the illusion will be there.
Talking of very adult things, what adult thing have you done this week?
Are you ready?
Yeah. Yes, I'm always ready.
I got a new...
No!
Yes!
Oh my God, this is absolutely... This has blown my mind out. Tessa has had... Essentially not a phone. Like, it was like... Come on, explain.
So it was already really old. I'd replaced the screen several times, and each time it made the buttons, when you called someone, more and more sensitive. So every time I called somebody, it muted them with my cheek.
So she had to wear a hat over her cheek whenever she called anyone. Then the home button came off. Then you
couldn't... So then I could still get in, but I had to ask Siri to get me in. And then once I was in, I had...
This has been years. I've known Tessa for so long, and it's basically, this is the phone she had the whole time. It's been about, I would say, definitely since when we started the podcast.
Oh,
I remember being like, well, the first adult thing you should do is buy a new phone.
Yeah, that was one of the early
episodes. This is a year ago.
Yeah.
It has been a source of great anxiety for me.
Yeah, I know, because I will try and get somewhere, and then I'll be like, I'm so sorry, as soon as I left the house, the phone died. I'm sorry, I couldn't
she's
get anything.
She's always attached. You're always attached.
Always
to things.
Attached. I have to travel with several batteries.
And if you want a screenshot, you can't screenshot. So I have to email her pictures. She has to WhatsApp me. No, she has to email me pictures that I then WhatsApp to her that she can then put
save
on Instagram
onto her photo reel. Then she can upload them.
No wonder you don't use Instagram, because you really didn't have a phone.
No.
Yeah.
I tried. I did actually have to Google the other day. Put up photos on Instagram from a PC? The answer is no. No, you can't do that.
Just no. That's amazing.
This
I'm so
is mine.
Happy for
yeah.
you. What type is it? Let's
It's an iPhone 6 and I have no shame in that.
No, of course not.
No.
I'm
bought in. I'm balls deep in the iPhone experience.
Of course, yeah, it's fine.
But I have upgraded. I'm on a SIM, a pay-as-you-go SIM. And then I went into the shop and was like, hello, please. I'm not getting a good enough deal on this SIM. And if you don't change it, I'll leave. And they were like, okay, what do you want? And I was like, I want to be able to go abroad. And they were like, all right.
Book me a flight.
Book me a flight, please. 3 Mobile. And then Jan at 3 Mobile was like, all right, here you go. I'm off to Bermuda.
But now you can take photos on your new phone.
Yeah, so. I can do anything. I'm feeling absolutely thrilled with myself.
I've got goosebumps. When you showed it to me, I got goosebumps.
And I just thought it will break. I've got it on eBay and put the new SIM in it. And I thought,
like, why wouldn't you? But they're so expensive normally.
Unbelievable.
I've not bought an iPhone from a shop like, hello, can I buy an iPhone? Ever.
No.
What have you done now? Have you broken it?
I broke Tom's. No, imagine if I broke my iPhone. I've had a small issue with your pass, but I'm absolutely going to fix that.
Broken Tom's pass.
I broke Tom's pass. I was too excited and I was fiddling with it, but boy, am I going to fix that in the break.
Well, I eat my pasta. You're going to fix Tom's thing.
Steve's going to eat her pasta. I'm going to fix this pasta.
I'm going to tell you my adult
thing. Yes, please.
So my friend had a bit of a hard time.
Absolutely.
And rather than just do the whole like, oh, should we go get a drink? Or like, I've done all that as well. I also thought, oh my God, I'll send her a gift basket.
Lovely.
I text her boyfriend to be like, what would she like out of kind of chocolatey things, wine things, cheese things, or I guess fruit things? Are the only ones I could think
of? I've seen Butters of the World.
Okay. Well, I didn't think that was Butters of the World. No, I don't like butter, please. He said cheese. So I was like, okay, I'll get her some cheese. And I went on, I guess, a dedicated website purely for cheese gift boxes.
Yes.
The third one down is called The Gorgeous Gift Box for Her, The Ideal Gift for a Lady. There's 4 cheeses, and it says, what every woman really wants is this fantastic collection of sexy, feminine, and indulgent cheeses. It's like, okay, I have to get this for her. And it says, never has such a graceful set of cheeses sat together on a board.
Oh.
And then you just buy the cheese. So I bought her some cheese.
Like, never have they sat together.
A sexy, feminine, and indulgent cheese.
That's pretty beautiful.
So this is my foray into the adult world of
That's
cheeses.
That's so lovely. Did she like it?
She hasn't received it yet. But I did put, you know, on like the note that you, like it was a gift note that you can do, I basically quoted the website. It was like, this is, look at this, ha ha, and then realised they have to write that on the note.
What a mean thing to do.
So she's probably going to get a load of cheeses that have been spat on. So,
well, what a
failed.
I think a real triumph of the thought, though.
I think thought always
is
triumphs.
90% of the journey.
Yeah, and then if someone receives
doesn't
some
receive
spat
a,
on cheeses.
Some spat on sexy cheese.
It's not my fault.
It's not your fault. That's really, really lovely. What a lovely thing. Is it going to her place of work, the sexy cheese?
No, it's going to her house.
That
she's
is really
a self-employed
lovely.
Lady. A lady for cheeses.
Sexy, independent cheese.
Sexy, independent cheese. That's a Destiny's Child song.
I believe so, yes. Okay. That's really, really well done.
Right. How to run. Do you run? You do run.
Yes.
Ish. Yeah.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
But that's your, isn't that your exercise of choice along with swimming?
Yes, but only because I find everything else very tedious.
But that's how picking your exercise of choice is.
I know, but I
is.
Haven't tried very hard. I haven't even branched out.
No, I haven't really. But you just find one that you're like, this is the least bad, and then do that one.
Yes, exactly. But I haven't joined. I don't like being told what to do.
No, I'm fully aware of that. You do, Tessa does the park runs, which are really fun and they're free, and you just go and just Google park run and then you sign up to the nearest one near you. And Tessa will never go at the start. She'll hide behind a tree and join halfway
that
through.
That isn't...
I feel like...
That isn't... If I... That is... No, that is because
In my head, you jump out of the tree as well, just so you know.
I do. Oh, I don't... Oh, sorry, from the
height.
From
the top
of the
tree. Oh,
right. Okay, no, I wish I could get up there. No, that is due to time issues.
I'm so sorry.
That is not just to do...
I'm so sorry
that's
for
like
that
I missed the start and I'm walking towards...
I thought it was like a kind of a... You can't tell me when to start my run.
Oh,
I started
right.
at this tree.
Gosh, no.
Right.
That's like, I'm walking towards the start line. The runners are already coming towards me.
This
is tedious. I'm already on the track.
Yes.
If I stand here and do up my laces, people, as they come around the corner, will just think I have just stopped.
Yes.
And then I let them go, and then
and
I'm
then
in.
You follow.
And
great,
then nobody
okay.
here will think, apart from the very first people who saw me, but they're long gone.
And also, they're not thinking about it.
They're thinking about
their
PB. Yeah. No, I really want to be a good runner, and I'm a terrible runner. But also, the London Marathon is coming up on this Sunday, which is an exciting visual event.
So if you're listening and you're like, cool, maybe I'll do, you it's too late, you
it's
can't
so
join.
So much too late, and it's not for now.
Yeah, but maybe next year.
Yeah, absolutely. But also a lot of people send us pictures from doing half marathons and other runs and things, saying they were listening to us.
That's the thought of someone doing a marathon listening to us makes me really warm inside.
It really does. I'm really thrilled. I hope you listened to some good ones. I hope we were very encouraging.
We should do, I think we will do at some point, maybe like a 3 hour long marathon podcast.
Yes.
It is a marathon in and of itself because it's 3 hours long, but it's for people running marathons.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, I see. Keep going. And
that's
like,
really great.
And we have like loads of like interesting segments that have got nothing to do with running because you need to take your mind off
the
running. But then every like 15 minutes, we just go, woo!
That's really great.
And then we just continue.
You're doing so well.
You're doing so well. So if you're listening to this running,
if you actually are using this for the London Marathon,
Oh baby.
We're so proud of you.
You go. Tess has become an American woman.
Woo-hoo.
She's so proud.
Well, the British don't know how to show support.
They don't, do they?
We only
apart from during the marathon when everyone suddenly starts yelling people's names.
Oh my God.
People have banners. I know somebody that goes with a banner with a number of different like small banners with very generic names on them to hold up, and she just rotates. So like it was very revealing when she said the names, because I was like, yes, that is true. Lots of Megans, Sarahs,
wow.
Lauras and Hannahs. And then with the
John?
Men, Tom, James. So John wasn't one, James was one. Tom, James, Sam and Adam, I think. And then obviously the name of the person that she's actually watching, if that applies. But yeah.
That's incredible.
What a great thing. She's like every year.
That's so wonderful. We've been several times to watch people and it's very pure experience.
It really is. It's like any kind of crowd situation, which I think is why running in a kind of formalized way with other people, like a parkrun, is probably better than just running by yourself, because I don't think I've ever managed to fully complete a run myself. Like I always stop or I like go the shorter way.
Well, exactly. Like, so that is one of the big things about like, if you are trying to get into running, is like get into the pack, get into any kind of...
Become a wolf.
You don't...
Run like a wolf.
That's number one. Yeah. Onto all fours and away you go.
Yes.
That's our top tip. Yeah, get in the wolf pack mentality. And I would never join a office-based running club.
But you don't want to see them more, do you?
I'm like, I'd like to be alone now,
please.
Do you
want to see Sheila in her shorts?
No, thank you. And also, it's so, like, aggressive, and who will set the pace? And maybe I want to go slower.
And also, it should be a nice break from your day rather than, like, you then bring it in, because then when you come back into the office, it's like, oh, and then you know that you've lost, and then you're sat next to the person that, like, ran past you, and you hate them all day.
Yeah. I don't think it's that competitive.
I'm so sorry. I've
never been.
I'm never competitive outwardly. Mm. I've done like a couple of work yoga things.
Mm. Oh, that's nice.
And it is nice, but it's very much like in my head, I'm like, oh, Zoe's bendy, isn't she?
Yes,
I'm
exactly.
I'm not as bendy as Zoe. Yep. Then when I'm maybe like in a meeting or something and she makes a good point, I'm like, oh, she's bendy and she makes good points. So it sort of feeds into the office.
You're so right. Yeah. It feeds in everywhere. Whereas I know that if I went running with the group, I would appear so weak. Everyone would be like, how can we trust her ideas in the meeting? She was so weak.
She can't run. How can she run with this project?
No, exactly right. And that's why I can never let on. So I thought what we would do is go mind first.
Oh, yeah.
Then but we'd work from the outside, the inside out.
I was going to say, where is your mind?
It's on my edge of my
exoskeleton. My exposed brain.
Yes, don't we all? Like that horrifying fish with the see-through head in Blue Planet?
Oh, I haven't seen Blue Planet
yet.
None of it. No, I've seen the first series, but not the second series.
Oh, you must get sick and enjoy it. You must.
That's why I didn't get the flu and everyone else got the flu.
Yes, yes.
So everyone else watched Blue Planet and I didn't.
Oh, well, even just do it once a week.
No, I know how to watch TV shows.
Okay. So you can go on the online.
It's on my list, but my list is very long.
I understand. What else
also,
is
I got into a really great show on BBC called Big Cats, which is a man who takes in a baby jaguar into his house, and he's like a jaguar specialist.
As I would hope.
Anyway, yes. And he is, honestly, it's incredible. The jaguar is called Maya, and she's like the best thing ever. It's on iPlayer now, so watch it.
That sounds so wonderful.
So useless.
Anyway, so I thought we would start from the inside out and go mind, body.
The mind of a runner.
The mind of a runner. The body of a runner. The socks of a runner. And then,
do you need to wear socks?
Yes, you must.
Top tip.
And finish with some of the external gear.
Oh, yes.
Not just...
The helmet.
The helmet, for example. Your sports goggles.
The board.
And your board.
Yes.
So... Running.
Mind first.
So I've been reading this book called Born to Run by Christopher McDougall.
I don't think that's his name.
I think so.
Sorry, you said it. No, it, I did. It's, I said fully.
It's
his
in
name.
Quite a difficult font, everyone.
It is.
Born to Run by Christopher McDougall. Or do you think McDougall? That's not a name,
it's
is it?
It's definitely McDougall.
That's the first one.
McDougall.
So he.
McDougall.
Sorry. I really did think it was that then. He was a runner, or, you know, was an American guy. I think he had run a marathon and was like into running and wanted to be better, and then sort of got really injured and had those sort of knee injuries and foot injuries and stuff that like just meant he wasn't a good enough runner, and went to various doctors and people who were all just like, don't run. And he was like, but why? Crucially, why is our body so hopeless if we are supposed to be runners?
That's an excellent question that I haven't ever thought about. Because everyone's always like, it's high impact, so you should be on the cross trainer. It's like, I don't think Neanderthals were on the cross
trainer. Exactly right. Exactly right. They're like, if we are a running species, he makes this really good point. They're like, why don't you see, like, elephants is the weird choice I've gone for. Why don't you see elephants with...
trainers on.
No, that's not what I meant.
Why don't you see jellyfish with sweatbands?
Yeah, no, what I actually meant was... Why don't you see leopards with bandaged knees?
Well, because there's no one there to bandage them.
They would if there was a leopard clinic, but they don't need the
maybe,
leopard.
Do you mean maybe like, why don't you see leopards with more leg injuries?
Yes.
Why no one's going around bandaging the leopard's knees.
Yeah, but maybe like you
yeah,
don't
I
see
understand.
Injuries in the animal kingdom. In-
no, because they are built.
Yeah.
Perfectly for running, which yes. we should be as well.
We should be as well. And so why on earth are we having all these?
Unless we were supposed to be eaten. This is not helpful.
Well, I think it is. You sure. think it was supposed to be eaten?
And I don't think we were. I'm just positing that maybe we aren't supposed to have got to the top of the food chain like we have, because we've got to the top of the food chain because we can create things that help us.
Well, I think that's really indicative of like Western thinking, that we're like, we're thinkers, not movers,
oh
you know?
God. Yeah. That's why I don't go to the gym very much as well.
You're like, excuse me, I'm busy thinking.
I'm building this helmet for myself.
I'm too busy whittling this helmet. But I think actually everything is a moving thing.
Yes,
even
sure.
like chickens that we keep in cages. They're like, it's a chicken, it doesn't need to go anywhere. If you strap a GoPro to a chicken, it travels like 8 miles a day. Like it just... Is a GoPro the wrong
word? All I can think about is a chicken wearing a GoPro. Yeah. But I completely, and that's not
yeah,
the point.
If you just let it roam, like chickens will, anything will just travel. Things yes. are moving, running.
You do get, you know, that's why when you're working a 9-to-5 and you don't ever move, you sort of get like restless legs. And
absolutely.
And you have lots of other problems you don't realise, but they're all connected with the fact that you just sat down.
Yeah, because we're not really supposed to be we're not supposed to sit down. Like that's not.
Oh, I feel very aware. Of must chair now.
Current, should we stand for this?
No.
Well, we're
very
job?
Far away.
Imagine if we did this on the move.
That'd be so great.
Yeah.
Right, so our minds, how
so
do we...
So he finds in the book, which I really recommend, it's fun. He is quite a bit American-y at the beginning, and but you'll think like, I don't care for this, Tessa. But stick with it, perhaps on a long plane journey or something.
Okay.
It's really very interesting. And he goes and finds this group in Mexico. You know, when we sort of talk about like the tribes that just run forever.
Yes.
So he goes and finds this real group called the, and I'm going to try and say their name correctly.
Say it with confidence.
Here it comes. He goes and finds this group called the Tarahumara.
So confident.
Felt good, didn't it?
Yeah.
There's
Tarahumara. Loads of Tarahumara listening going, that's not how you pronounce it, you idiot.
Like, I'm so sorry if you are listening. I'm confident they're not, because they sort of don't care for any Western things at all. They live in a very secretive life in Mexico, in the deep canyons, in caves, and they run constantly. They run like hundreds of miles.
As in just for fun?
For fun.
Oh, wow.
So they're not even a particularly like hunting a group. They don't, they're not doing anything. They're just running for fun. And they run races regularly to celebrate anything.
Oh, great. So it's like very much the part of the tribe culture. Is
it's
it
so
like,
much part of the tribe culture.
Right, this has happened. Time for a run.
Time for a run. Wonderful. And it's like 80 miles.
Oh, God.
And people just set off. And also the run could go for 3 days.
Yes, wow.
So they just...
So the thing
run.
Is, because I'm sat here, late 20s, being like, I could never do that. That's they must be like physiologically different. And then you're
exactly.
like, no, because I've spent 20 years not doing that.
Yeah.
So I've grown essentially fat and lazy.
You have come to exactly the point that the whole book comes to. And you've
don't bother reading the book, guys.
No, Stevie's done it for you. You're so wise and right. When they sort of came to prominence, at the same time that sort of like ultra marathoning arrived in America in like the late 70s, early 80s. People were like, what have they got? What is different? Maybe they're eating these plants, which they were. Like, what is it? Maybe something's making them special. And it's not that at all. It's just that we have a totally different attitude towards running. This is a time when like money had just arrived into running as an idea. Mm. So rather than just being like, strap on your plimsolls and we'll all go for a run, it was like an athlete.
Right.
So now if you imagine runners, you're like, we're powerful, we're strong, we're winners. It's all about like aggression and endurance and like getting through stuff. Whereas really it used to be like, well, just love it. I just love it.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
So we lost this like joy of running, and
how
that's what they
back?
Just, exactly right. How do we get it back? We are this born to run. We were natural born runners, and not just like in our ancestry, but when we were little, like when you were a small child, you just ran about
constantly,
and people were always like, Stevie, get away from the road, get away from that.
I mean, that, oh, I've just had a real flashback there.
Yeah, stop.
Get away from the road, yeah. constantly.
Running
into roads.
And just being like, stop, wait for me.
Yeah,
while
yeah.
Your
come back.
You
too
know?
Far.
Constantly. And when you read that bit, you're like, oh my God, yes, I remember. You just ran everywhere. So we are like totally natural runners, but we've got this totally broken mindset of like, it's difficult and it's endurance and I don't want to do it and it's a hard thing to do.
And more like, I'm sort of born to do this.
I'm born to do this.
This is, of all the exercises, the one that I maybe could attempt the most.
Yes.
Because you're not born to be on a cross trainer yet. So that's harder to maybe work at than running. So how do you change your perspective then? Do you just kind of...
So what was that thing you told me about that big fat man who ate his body for a year?
Yes, apparently, right, it's not like a man I know, but apparently there was a guy, and I don't have all the facts with me now, but there was a guy who, like, morbidly obese, and he was going to die, and he went on a hunger strike, and lived off his own body fat for, like, months and months and months and months. No one had ever thought that that could be possible.
Yeah.
Like, but of course it makes sense. But the idea is that your body can like keep going. When you're running, the moment that you go like, oh, I can't do anymore, you've still got about 10 hours left before your body actually kicks out, stops running.
Yeah.
And it's all psychological.
Yes. There's this nice quote that the body achieves what the mind believes.
Oh,
and
wow.
So much with running is just about like shutting your brain down and letting your body carry on and getting yourself into a pace that you can just run at for ages. And I've heard runners talk about that so often, and I'll be like, please, what are you talking about? Where they're like, you just get yourself there and then you could just run for ages. But I'm approaching understanding what that is.
Yes.
And you just, top tip is, it's way slower than you think.
Right, of course. So, yes. Like, I think a lot of people's problem is that they feel like they should be pushing themselves or running faster than they are, because they're maybe measuring themselves against people. But you don't know how many hours and days that other person that you're measuring yourself against just in that marathon or in that park has run. They might run every morning for 12 hours. Like,
yeah.
So you can't be like, oh, maybe I should be that fast. Like, I guess, running very slow.
Exactly. When I set off, I'm always like, I'm sprint right at the top, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm the best runner in the whole world. It lasts about 40 paces.
Yes.
Then I am tired,
yes,
and then I'm exhausted and sad for however long I have to keep going for. Whereas if you just set off at this like slow, steady, tortoise pace, you're like, oh my God, I can keep doing this. And I'm not crimson or exhausted. I'm not walking. I'm just like in this rhythm. And if you get yourself into that rhythm, you can honestly carry on for so long. You will really surprise yourself with what you can do there.
And does everyone, I guess everyone has their own rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And the rhythm, how can you, is there any way of like telling? Because I remember someone saying with like yoga, you can tell when you're doing it wrong when it hurts and you're going, ah! So that you should always be like, I can feel it.
Yeah.
But I can still smile and make the yoga face if I really try. Is there something like that with running? Like,
yes, they say that you should be able to run at the same pace that you could hold a conversation for.
Oh God, I don't think I've ever run like that.
Right?
Wow.
I was like, excuse me? I'm too busy being an athlete here. So in my head, I'm always imagining like Steve Cram and Hazel Irving being like, this British, young British athlete here, look at her go. She's taking she's set off. Like, and I'm always like, look at me go, Steve. And then, and then like, you can't keep up that level of impressing Steve. You just have to.
You can't impress Steve.
You can't impress Steve. You're not going to be this amazing runner. You just have to go, like, keep pulling yourself back. And that is, it's just practice, but it's about, once you're in it, you'll be like, oh gosh. It really
is
exactly the same as yoga, of like, you're like, this is hurting. And they're like,
I guess if you're listening to music as well, sometimes the music beat can be quite, you get a song and it'd be quite fast and you realise that you're running to the beat. I always run, just can't help running to the beat of the music. I just can't help it, guys. I guess my music is too fast as well because I can't run, but I can run, but I feel like I can't.
Yeah.
That could be a reason.
So we've made that Spotify playlist that so many people have contributed to. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so nice.
That I've been running to, and some of the ones that we put in, that we did, are all like Pirates of the Caribbean, like very intense, and Black Skinheads, which is just the most like intense, like that's a real Steve Cram one for me. Incidentally, yes. Steve Cram narrates the Olympics. He is the voice of the Olympics, just in case that's not a reference for everyone. And so that's a real like, oh my God, I'm here, I go.
Yeah.
But it lasts like 3 seconds and you're like, no, you're supposed to be out here for hours.
Like, you need sustained bursts of music.
Actually, your music needs to be something just distracting. Actually, do consider listening to a podcast, like just listening, chat, just take your mind away. So rather than it being this like power, 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 it's just like, oh, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
So some of the songs on there, I was like, this isn't enough. But actually, those have been the perfect ones that have just been, they need to be background music rather than being like, this is, you know,
what I'm running
this
to.
This is what I'm running to.
I feel like actually, yeah, listening to a podcast would be a great idea. I mean, I'm not saying listen to ours, like,
I'm not saying listen to this one. Yeah.
But that, yeah, that would be a good idea. Because I think, like, then you can find your own beat rather than relying on Kanye West. It's very hard to rely on Kanye West these days. He's a loose cannon.
Increasingly hard to rely on.
Increasingly difficult.
These phenomenal songs, but they are for the 100-meter sprint, and possibly that is what you know running is from school, or you know, you're like, oh, the 100 meters, that's what running is, or it's a, you know, it's intense bursts. Whereas really, you need not Kanye.
I see. There's actually a really interesting article about the health benefits of running, because I think to get your mind in running, I often, before I go to the gym or something and I really don't want to, I'll look up like health benefits of the thing I'm about to do.
Oh, great.
Because it just makes me go like, of course
that's
I'm
really
going
good
to do
idea.
This. In The Economist, who are the sponsors of this podcast, there was a really great piece recently about the health benefits of running in general. It really gave me a kind of a kick to start working out more. And I'm not a runner, but like, I can see the benefit now of just having something that is free that I should be doing. I mean, like, I shouldn't really necessarily be born to be on a rowing machine, which is what I'm doing at the moment.
Are you rowing?
Yeah, because I've never done it before. So I was like, well, let's just see what happens if I do this.
And how are you at rowing?
Fine, actually.
Oh, are you?
Because I'm quite tall. So it's like, but I don't have any arm strength.
I don't have any arm
like,
strength
at all. I've got quite good legs, but no arm strength. So I thought, well, I'll do it because then that will maybe give me arm strength. But it just makes it just so much harder. Whereas running is sort of something that I should be better at. And I think with going to the gym and with, say, let's just use running as an example, you might be like, you know, oh, I want a smaller leg or whatever. But like, and yes, exercising can make you look better. Mm-hmm. But that's, I find, for me personally, a very unsustainable reason to be exercising.
Absolutely.
It doesn't last when you just genuinely don't want to go 6 weeks down the line. So actually, the benefits should be health related, and they're the ones that you should focus on. So there was this really interesting study done. I suppose this is what I was reading about in The Economist, is that experts have found that exercising, specifically running, reduces cancer. And this is like a thing that people say all the time, like, oh, it reduces heart disease and cancer, but they don't actually, they didn't know why for ages. And I just thought it was quite interesting why.
Yes,
so when you get like a cancerous tumour or something like that, they've done tests on mice. I'm so sorry that they're poor mice, but they're doing some good work. And they've done a lot of comparisons between the ones that are running a lot and the ones that are completely stagnant. And there's a real marked
difference. Do they put the mice on tiny
little tiny treadmills? No, little wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Little,
oh God.
And then one of them is on a tiny cross trainer.
Wow.
With a little pause up in
once
the
once I had to join British Military Fitness in a terrible time.
No, that sort of stuff is not sustainable. It's
not for a mouse.
Not for a mouse. Yeah, certainly. Basically, when you get, I'll use tumour as an example, but it is like cancerous cells, but a tumour in your body, which is sounds terrifying, your body goes into full SAS mode. It's like, go, go, go. And one of the cells it produces to go, go, go are called natural killer cells. Just really chilled out, guys. Basically, they ring alarms all over being like, there's a thing here, and they call to arms your body's immune system. Now, when your body is running and when it's doing exercise, but specifically running for this study that was kind of a groundbreaking study, it pumps out adrenaline, and the adrenaline gave the mice like up to 5 times more of these cells than the mice that didn't exercise. Then they tried giving the mice just adrenaline, and that didn't really have as much effect. They're like, so it's not just adrenaline, it is the exercise. And it's when you're exercising, your body produces this molecule called, saying it with confidence, interleukin-6.
Yes.
Who is naming these molecules? Only when exercising. So alongside adrenaline, this basically helps your immune system fight these cells. So yes, this is a very specific thing about cancer, but it means that there is a lot of research done that shows that your immune system is just better when you go running. So if you are somebody that gets colds all the time, if you're somebody who's like, you know, like, oh, I'm sickly or whatever,
yeah,
you should be going running. And I thought that was very interesting and something to hold on to if you're like, you know, yeah, sure, having a tight butt is one thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
then
yeah.
Do you want to just be healthier overall?
Yes.
It's looking like going running is just way more than, you know, getting an excellent calf. I thought anyway.
That's amazing.
Maybe be more sustainable when you're like, oh, should I exercise? And you're like,
yes, get my interleukin 6 up.
Get my interleukin 6 up. Get so I'm not the one catching the cold all the time. I'm not the one just being ill all the time. And yeah. Also, let's be honest, cancer's terrifying. Do everything you can to stop that happening.
Yes, absolutely.
Literally everything you can, please.
I think that's such a brilliant thing to not be this short-term thing of like, oh, I'd like to lose a bit of weight. Like,
yeah, no. I mean, yes, it does help sometimes. I'm not saying that it's not something that's in my mind sometimes, but it's not, yeah, it's not for the long term, is it, really?
No, that's not going to make you love it.
No, we don't.
Long term.
So for more articles like that, get your free copy of The Economist. So you go to theeconomist.com/debrief. Then you get sent a free copy, which it's got so much good stuff in it, guys. So thank you so much to The Economist.
Thank
again.
You, The Economist.
Right. So we've done a lot of mind.
Yes. I just have one more mind thing.
Yes. Okay. Mind.
Mind. One thing. So some of this is from Georgia Ockel, who's a personal trainer.
Oh, lovely.
And a regular contributor on The Debrief, talking about sort of mental preparation. If you set yourself a goal, and definitely do that if you want to get into it, set a 5K goal or a 10K goal and do it in a race somewhere you get a medal and people clap you and there's a clear track. So if you think like, I'd rather stop, you have to carry on, which is my main thing. I'm just like, well, no one will know.
Yeah, apart from me, and I'll forgive myself.
Sometimes I used to tell my housemates I was going for a run to the end of the street, have a sit down. And then come back. My housemates would be like, where have you been? I'm like, just running. Haven't. Yeah, go and force yourself to do one of those. Have a practice before your big one on going to another race and seeing what it's like in the group and, you know, when they do the warm-up at the beginning and being overtaken and other people overtaking you. And it's all about really finding that harmony with your body and not just setting off speedy because somebody good-looking has overtaken you and you want to be impressive and not, you know, being like, what does my body need? Who am I? And that really, like, constantly checking in with yourself.
Also, a thing as well, like, I sometimes feel quite embarrassed going for runs. I feel like I look silly. But I guess when I'm running, I'm not looking at anyone else. I'm just thinking about me running.
Yeah.
And if I do look at anyone else, I'm just really impressed that they're also running.
Yeah.
And if I'm walking along and someone runs past me, it doesn't matter what they look like. They could be running in the most bizarre way ever. They're winning because I'm not running.
Yeah. Absolutely. I always think about that This Girl Can advert. Woman on a bicycle.
Yeah.
Up what looked like some kind of country hill somewhere. And it said, I might be slow, but I'm lapping everyone on the couch. And
it's
I was
a
like,
great
so
phrase. There's
great.
Loads of, I've started following, there's loads of really great body positive exercise Instagram profiles.
Yeah.
Just a couple that I follow, but it might get you into, because I think we're so used to just seeing like skinny white girls exercising. And you're like, I mean, very few people look like that. And a big thing as well is sometimes feeling like, well, that's not for me. Like, yoga isn't for me, or like, you know, and it's for everybody. And I think you need to fill your social media. If you feel like that, which I felt like that, and I have friends who felt like that too, they found it very helpful to just basically create their Instagram feed with loads of like stuff that makes them go like, yes, of course. Because if you can see yourself in someone else doing it, then you can do it as well. Body Posipanda.
Yes.
She's excellent. And then other people I like, my name is Jessamine, and Jessamine is spelled JESAMYN. She is so flexible. I've started doing yoga and I'm awful at it. And I find she does really excellent poses that is good for like all body types as well. Millie Smith, I think it was at Millie Smith. So Summers von Hess is great because she also like, she's just happy with her cellulite. You know, it sounds so like worthy, but you're like, no, there's not enough people who are just not making like a big deal of it, just doing stuff and you can see cellulite. It's always like a, look at my cellulite all the time.
Well, I think we came of age in a time when cellulite was a real like joke punchline to things.
Yes.
It was a really like, and it was really...
The hoop of shame.
No one
like,
really, yeah, the, oh my God. No one really understood what it was. And then as an adult, you in ladies' changing rooms, you're like, oh, we've all got it.
I know this sounds to be like, the skinniest people I know have more cellulite sometimes than the largest.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing to do with how much weight you've got.
Yeah.
Like it's genetic and some people will have it and some people won't. Final one I say is at Darth_Bador, B-A-D-O-R. She's Emily Bador, and I may have mispronounced that, but like she's my favorite. Because she looks the most like me as well. So yes, you always follow the person who looks like you.
Someone super positive and find your like love for your thing.
Yes, and realize that like it doesn't matter what you look like. Yeah. Running is for you. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You just have to start very, very small, I guess. Small baby steps. So if going outside and running for an hour is not for you, then I guess just do like 5 minutes.
Yes, exactly.
And don't be like, oh, well, no one else doing it. So everyone probably started doing 5 minutes. Yeah, the first time I ever run, I ran for 5 minutes. And the reason I ran was because a bee came out of a bush. I got really frightened. I started running. I was like, oh, this is all right. Then ran 5 minutes home and was sick in the bath. Like that is the first time I ran. So if I can do that, then you can start with a 5 minute run.
Yeah. And that's what all the experts recommend is, of course, running the marathon or a 10K or a 5K feels overwhelming, but running to the end of the street doesn't. So run to the end of the street and then tomorrow run to the end of the next street.
Yeah.
And just really slowly build it up and invent your own. If you're someone who likes that sort of training, look up the schedule that says like, today it's 10 minutes walk, then run 5 minutes on the bicycle or whatever.
Yes.
Then a rest day. If that overwhelms you, as it does me, make your own one up.
Yes, just keep anything's better than nothing, isn't it?
Anything's better than nothing. Just keep upping your distance.
There's a thing as well, like, you know, like that run to the end of the street, the first thing I thought was, but what about when you get to the end of the street? Because I've got this real thing about, I feel like when I'm running or when I'm doing something and I stop, I just don't, like, I'm too embarrassed. But actually, the other thing is that, again, nobody cares. So if you stop, no one knows that you haven't been running for 20
minutes.
That's
what I always think. And I always put my hands on my hips and go,
or like, look at your watch a bit.
Just, even if you haven't got, I've just got a watch on, just
look at your wrist.
Look at your wrist and then press your wrist.
Yes, or get your phone out and like press your phone out and be like, like do like a little nod to yourself.
Look at your watch.
Right, good workout,
even though
guys.
It says 27 seconds since you started the run.
Yes.
Nod at it.
Do a bit of acting.
Give an impression that it might be a PB or close to, and you're actually close to. You're quite disappointed actually, and you lost some distance.
Yeah.
In the middle there, but you know,
and
it's
some
all right.
Stretching as well, and just then like just some do a stretching, and then walk back
and then
home. Three doors down to where you started,
because you did more than nothing.
Yes,
and that's
so
huge.
I just thought sometimes people get embarrassed, so that might be helpful.
Yeah, oh,
I do. That will help
for sure.
Me, yeah.
I mean, also I jump out of a tree to join parkrun, so I had to really get over my embarrassment things.
Right, sorry.
So some injury and body stuff. Because obviously we do find ourselves injured a lot. This is from Martin Hammer, a health and fitness tutor at the Training Room. So if you're looking for a proper, and this is recommended, like if you think like, I think I've got quite a funny gait or
I run like Phoebe from Friends.
Yeah, me too.
Like that shrimp emoji. That's how I run. You know, like the shrimp, the little shrimp. No, is it a shrimp? Or is he a, what's this?
Okay.
This guy. He's in my most used. That guy.
He's a squid.
Oh, the squid emoji.
Oh,
right. Because his little tentacles are up in the air, and that's how I run. My arms go all over the
place. Absolutely, and that is fantastic.
Yes.
How do you think your legs are going?
I think my legs are going, like, as best as they can.
Okay.
I think I go a bit knock-kneed.
Yeah.
I mean, God, can you imagine? My arms are going and I'm knock-kneed. Like,
but luckily you're going so fast no one can see you, so it doesn't matter.
So fast. And doing a lot of pretending that I've hit a PB. But I've read recently that you should do balls of your feet first and then heel.
Yes.
I literally don't know how to do that. It feels so weird when you do it.
That is so. I would definitely recommend for you and for anybody wanting to get into it, go and maybe get a coach just for one day or one session to have somebody analyze your run, and so they can be like,
you can do it in like some sports shops.
Yeah, in the top of Nike Town, you can go and they video your run. That's what they told me. My gait was astonishing because my left leg is leading with this correct style, which is toes first, then heels, and nice and soft, and then my right leg is twisted out and then leading with the heel, like Quasimodo or something, coming at the back. And they were like, gosh, we don't know what to recommend here. You need two different shoes.
But that's good, isn't it? Because you can do that and you don't have to pay for that, do you?
No, you don't have to pay for that.
You just have to look like you're going to buy trainers.
Yeah.
So if then look at some trainers and then go, I think I'll come back later and get these, and then don't come back, they'll never know.
No, and also nobody in Nike Town cares. But those sort of things are in any running shop. There will be a running machine. Like, somebody will help you. So go and do that. Anyway, Martin says that the simple fact is that we are born to run. Our skeletal system, muscular system, and many other systems are hardwired for us to be athletic runners. The problem is that our modern life is in a sedentary world. And so one of the things we see is, like, you, for example, adopt your heel-toe action because of poor hip mobility or your squat technique, the stiffness in the tibialis anterior or the front of the shin.
Oh, hello.
Or shoes that have a raised heel.
Yes.
Are you running in your high heels?
I am.
Yes, there we go. We've adopted it.
But trainers sometimes can have a bit of a raised
thing. Yeah, absolutely. So they say that is 101, absolutely not.
Oh, you've my
got
God.
To, yeah, you got to get those shoes as flat as possible.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Jesus Christ. Okay. And then how, what about like how to prepare yourself, your body for running?
So loads of stretching.
Okay.
You want to do loads of stretching beforehand.
What sort of stretching?
Anything that is, you know that one where you pick up your foot?
Oh, yes. And it stretches the front of your
front,
thigh.
The legs, or lunges, squats.
So anything, like basically just like all the leg squats that you used
loads
to do
and loads
in PE.
Of, yeah. All those, everything in PE that you were like, boring.
Yeah.
Let's get the balls out or whatever.
That's what I'd shout at the...
I was just like, boring. Let's just...
I was going to make a comment about asking children to get their balls out. So.
Yeah, loads of squatting of legs and anything. Okay, I'm lay on the floor and I'm putting my foot on my hip, knee. I'm putting my foot on my knee.
Knee.
And then I'm pulling this leg in.
Oh, yeah. So it looks like you're sort of like those men that sit in meetings with like their ankle on their knee and they're like, tell me about your ideas.
Okay, yeah, great.
But you're on your back.
So put your, sit on a chair. Tell me about this meeting.
Get off the chair.
Put your foot on your knee.
Yes.
Then
fall backwards.
Fall backwards and then pull that leg in feel it under here, which is
your bum.
Your bum. The bum all
your
the way down.
Your bum thigh?
Your bum thigh.
Your thigh.
Your bum thigh, and feel it all the way along there. And so those, the more that you can have like a loose hips. And so I think actually your squid running is perfect.
Oh, great.
Keep it nice and loose. And then Marta says neutral feet, keeping your feet nice and straight. Don't tip them out like a duck.
Okay.
Nice flat shoes, nice supple back and keep your back nice and straight.
Yeah, because I often get shoulder ache when I run because I think I carry a lot of tension in my shoulder and I think I run because I've got quite big boobs. I sort of run like that.
Yes. I think the boob thing is a huge and unexplored area in the sports world because that's such a male-dominated industry. No one's thought to be like, gosh, what are we going to do with these things
that
are really...
They're so expensive. Yeah. The good ones, basically, the more money you spend, the better your sports bra. But that's not fair. Like, it's just... I mean, imagine if, like... I'm trying to think, like, there must be things that men have to buy to put their balls in or something.
I asked a boy that the other day. Mm. I was like, have you ever run... naked?
Mm.
And if so, what's happening?
How?
Does it bash about? Mm. Because if a lady, sometimes I run to the shops, whatever, in my pajamas. Or upstairs, no. But in my pajamas or whatever. And I'll, you know, you leave your house with no bra and you're like, this was a terrible mistake.
Yes. You feel like everyone's gone.
Yeah. Mostly I'm just like, you're just walking on me like every
kicking
thought.
Kicking your
like,
boobs as
you
go. You're
walking like so up. You're like, nothing to see. But no bra here.
So
and you're also
feeling.
You're like, you can't run, you can't do anything.
You can't turn too far quickly.
You can't turn.
So something happens behind you, you've got to go very slow.
No, whoa, you've got to be like, so I'm coming in my own time to look at, investigate this. Yeah, and so I was like, what happens if you, have you ever run about naked? And if so, is it chaos?
Yeah.
Are you whip-whapping all over the place?
They're swapping all over the place.
He didn't know the answer.
I know the answer.
Please.
Because I was speaking to a man about the very same thing very recently. He's a performer and he jumps about on stage a lot.
Mm.
And there's one point where he has to put his leg up on a chair and he's just like, I just don't want anything to, you know, be hanging around because he's wearing shorts.
Absolutely.
At this point. Sorry, I should make that clear. He's wearing jeans.
Okay. And I'm like, God, it's out the bottom
of
that.
The bottom. Right around his leg like a vine. No, like baggy shorts, mm-hmm. sports shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And when he goes running and stuff, and also when he's on stage, he has these very, very specialised boxers that are really cheap and you can get them from anywhere. They're just tight and they just comfortably hold everything in place. Yeah. So you're not like, oh, there's a ball.
Are they special exercise ones?
They're exercise ones. And they're so cheap. And it makes me furious because I was like, oh, cool. How much was like? Oh, I was like, I don't know, £4 or something. And like, my sports bra is £80.
Yeah.
And They lose their elasticity, obviously, quite quickly. The more expensive ones, less so. But in, like, 6 months or so, you've kind of got to get another one because you can feel your boobs moving again. And I like, when I'm exercising, I like them to be completely not moving because it hurts. And, yeah, so, like, every 6 months I'm spending, like, £80 on a fucking sports bra. And he's like, yeah, cool, I've got, like, 12 pairs of these really cheap,
special
simple, like, Primark do them.
Ball-holding
pants. Ball-holding pants. But I guess it's different because, like, well, I mean... It, like all balls are the same kind of, and boobs are very different from woman to woman.
I think a ball is as different as a boob.
I don't think they're as different. Like there is variation, but I've seen some balls and they're all kind of the same. Like it's not like you've got like the difference between a double H and an A and an AA.
Right.
Boob
is
massive.
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
Whereas you don't get like double H balls, do you? Which you do, but then go
well,
to the doctor.
Maybe you get a big penis and it's too big for
of
running.
Of course, I'm so sorry for those people. My heart bleeds for the men that have penises so big they can't run. But I think like when it's like, you know, a soft penis, it just tucks into a...
Yes, we've all seen drag queens. You guys can flatten it.
Yeah.
And put it somewhere.
Yes. So, and I want to do that with my boobs.
We want to flatten... Yes.
Any men listening?
Oh my God. If we could, if you could pre a running competition, flatten them.
I absolutely...
And plop them away.
That's my dream. Because sometimes, also, and not even running...
Oh my God.
Just in life. Sometimes, yeah. I like, if it's summer and you just want to, like, pop to the shop and you just, like, pop a t-shirt on, I just want to put my boobs away for a minute and just go to the shop. I can pop them back on while I'm at work.
Yes, of course.
When I'm out. When I want them out. But, like, and especially not at the gym. Because at the gym, that's when you get, like, weird guys looking at you.
So, there is two parts to address here in the sports bar issue.
Mm.
One is about actual, like, running style and how it's affecting us.
Yeah.
And then the other is about the actual bras themselves. So I spoke to some running experts from Pure Sports Medicine who have a bunch of clinics around London and specialise in helping people running and getting into training and, you know, becoming pro athletes. And they have a website, it's puresportsmed.com. And I said, I've read that a lot of running injuries come from, like, and especially that pain in your shoulders and pain comes from tension, and that we should keep our hands really loose and flail around like Phoebe in Friends.
Right.
Is that true? And they said that it's really important to stay relaxed while you run, even though that may sound super hard. If you're tense when you run, it's easy to fall into a poor form, exactly like you're saying about, like, this hunched tension and all it being in your face and in your neck, which can lead to early fatigue, poor performance and injuries. And it's really common to build up tension in the shoulders, allowing them to end up near your ears, which I can definitely imagine myself running and then be like, oh God,
they're... release my shoulders.
Because sometimes you put them down, you're like, heavens above, those were high.
Yeah.
It causes your arms to, like, really swing instead of swinging freely forwards and backwards. They're sort of going side to side like this.
Oh, yes.
And then you're like, you can really imagine, like, that style as opposed to being like, woo, 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 which causes a lot of tension and pain. But also if you're, you know, really trying to do something long distance, it's a real total wasted energy. Now, they said as fun as it might be to try running like Phoebe from Friends, that too will waste a lot of energy. So instead, get yourself super flexible. And before you start running, stretch out your neck and shoulders and do that really regularly. Be someone that just every night really does a good stretch, putting your shoulders out and do it every night and morning. And check your hands, because I bet they're also balled up into a tight fist.
Yeah.
And which, because you're like, and that tension moves from there straight up into your shoulders and into your neck. And so try and keep a relaxed fist. Imagine that you're holding an egg or a handful of crisps.
Oh, which I would like to be when I'm running. Okay.
And something that really precious in your hands that you don't want to break.
Mm.
And so you're, you know, nice and gentle.
I normally hold a water bottle when I'm running, which is probably the one, and I'm probably like,
and you probably really grip it.
So we just, like, casually.
So if you have got the water bottle, try and hold it really gently. Yeah.
Like an egg.
Like an egg.
Or a crisp.
Or a crisp. Because actually, I think an egg is actually impossible to break with force. You have to crack an egg. But so therefore, crisps, you know, you want to keep those crisps.
I've been really sidetracked by the egg thing. I think you can crack an egg.
No, you can't. Not with force.
Oh, you have to get, like, a bit of a sharpness.
Obviously you can crack an egg. Otherwise, how would anyone eat an egg?
Definitely.
But you can't if you're holding it.
But if you throw an egg on the floor, it breaks.
You're so right. That's the end of this theory. You're completely right.
Like, it wasn't.
I did. Maybe it's one of those pranks, like putting a light bulb in your mouth.
Okay.
Maybe it's one of those pranks that you tell people you can't crack an egg with force, and then they're like, wow, and then they try and then they crack an egg.
Yes.
I'm such an idiot. Okay, so pretend that you've been pranked by someone. Anyway, so you're preciously carrying an egg, then elbows at right angles, arms by your side, and watch that head position. Don't let it come forward or straight down looking at the ground.
I look at the floor.
I do terrible.
All the time. So actually, you should just look straight ahead. I'm frightened, though. If I look straight ahead, I'll catch eyes with people.
Okay.
And, like, just sort of, like, suddenly you're staring at someone who's walking in. You know, like, if you're running and someone's walking the other way. And, like, I just don't want to look at them because it's weird.
Just stare them straight down. Okay. Then they'll very quickly lose contact with you.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So be the weirder one.
Yeah. Or just look somewhere else. Look at a car or something, I suppose. Okay, so you've got mind, you've got body.
And here we go to the external stuff. Socks. Just get some good socks.
Yes. Oh, trainer socks are so shit when
you're
running.
So shit.
They'll just be on, like, you'll have a nude heel within seconds.
Exactly. Number one, get out of the women's department, get yourself some men's running socks. As always, the women's stuff will have, like, a little bit of a pink bow on it.
And it'll be more expensive because of the pink bow.
And then, like, in pink embroidery, it'll say, like, endurance or I can or some bullshit. Yeah. Just get in the men's section.
Some bullshit like I can.
Sorry, that was, yeah. That does sound helpful and good. Yeah. Get yourself in the men's section. Get yourself a padded toe, padded heel, padded...
Just get a pillow.
Strap it to your feet. That probably would be fine.
Should you get the socks that you have... that it makes your toes like fingers, so they're like
absolutely
gloves.
Not
individual toes.
No
socks.
And if you are wearing those, you can't listen to this podcast anymore.
Tessa really hates.
I
them.
Hate them.
I find
so
them
much.
Weird, but I think Tessa, you want to like throw.
I
up
hate toes.
Them. Right.
The magic of a sock or a shoe is no toes.
Yes.
So for you to give me
sock toe,
that sock toe, yeah,
and it is more toe.
I hate them. So some things on sports bras. So I spoke to two people about sports bras. One is Melody Vasey from SportsShoes.com. Who have a infinitely large range of sports bras.
Amazing.
That are all amazing and proper ones and aren't just like little fancy lovely lady things.
Like a bit of napkin.
Little napkin that say like lovely low impact for tiny
Keep
lady.
Keep your low impact.
No, we've no time for low impact. We wouldn't be here if we needed low impact. You need to get a good sports bra, because if you have one of those ones that just like sticks them down, all you're doing is strapping this like huge weight to your chest in the wrong place, and then your shoulders are like, I'm sorry? Like,
interesting.
Oh my God. So it has to be like as well fitted as a normal bra.
Okay.
Don't just think like, this is my sports bra, who cares? Like, or yeah, wearing two sports bras
or an extra extra small just to get them flat.
Exactly, that's a key one, and I've definitely done that. It's
I
just
did
gone
that and I had shoulder problems,
exactly.
So I really
of
see why.
Of course, because it's just completely the wrong thing and it's taking all that weight on here. Measure yourself every 6 months.
Okay.
Gosh.
Your legs or your...
No, your bust.
And do you measure it from the fullest part around?
You do both.
Okay, fullest part and the bit underneath.
Yes, and a bit underneath. And so again, like maybe go into a shop that you don't have to buy anything.
Betty does them.
Yeah, though. And go in somewhere that will explain it to you and be like, oh, I'm this size, rather than just being like... Exactly. The amount of times I brought a small just to like squash them in. They should be replaced every 30 to 40 washes, which I've definitely held onto them for much longer than that. And abandon ship on anything that's like cotton or little. Like you need like proper, the word wicking needs to come up loads. Mm. You need like the real deal. They need complete cups, which are called encapsulation bras.
Mm-hmm.
Which means two full things rather than just one piece of material that squashes them into like a big mono boob.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, so... Sometimes, and then you're like sort of spilling out the top like a sort of bawdy wench.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You're visualizing that.
Yeah, you've got like a cleavage to your chin.
To your chin,
yeah.
And you're like, well, that's.
And it's
posh.
Like a big flat one pancake boob.
Yeah, that's... one huge horrifying boob. Also, if you're listening and you're thinking, like, oh, what are you talking about? I've only got A's. I don't need this boob chat. Yes, you do. Every single size needs the boobs.
Good.
Even though you think you've got really, really small boobs, you 100% need it because it's doing some damage if it's not there. Especially because if you're not wearing a sports bra, it can cause joggers. Nipple.
Oh my God. Someone I know literally got jogger's nipple the other day. It was like a chapped nipple.
Yeah.
It's the worst
horrifying
thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. And they bleed.
Yeah.
They bleed. Sometimes they have that like sexy racer back.
Yes.
The amount of like sexy bras in there that you're like, yeah, it looks cool, but it's not doing anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're actually doing more damage than good. So the ones that have like a sexy racer back, they put all the weight of those huge mono breasts that is now created and stuck to your chest. They put all the weight of that on here, which is called your trapezium muscles,
oh,
this
right.
triangle here.
Which is behind the neck.
This sort of triangle between your neck and your shoulders. Mm. Which always, if you work at a desk, you're like, oh, yes, that does hurt to touch.
Yes.
And the first place someone massages and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
That's where they're putting all that weight on that muscle that isn't designed to take anything at all. And so it's pulling on from your back, from your shoulders, everywhere. It's just screaming in pain. And so you want the straps to come right out here to this bone on your shoulders. You want them, get them away from your neck and the further away they are so that your shoulders can take the weight of them.
Look at my sports bra.
No, Stevie.
Yeah. What's the race back? But yeah, okay.
Stevie's showing me one and she's got one on.
I've got one on. I've got the wrong one on.
Oh, no. And then this is from Hagen Schumacher, an aesthetic surgeon who rebuilds and builds breasts for a living, and says that there was this study from the University of Portsmouth that found that when you're running or doing any exercise, women, we just thought they moved up and down, but actually they move up to 15 centimetres while running in all directions, up, down, forwards, backwards, side to side, and ultimately trace a figure eight pattern.
Oh my God. I would love, you know, like those slow moves of like dash on
running. Yeah.
No, like, but no, what they called them?
Hush puppies with the big ears where they go up and down.
I want to see that, but yeah, with all boobs.
Oh my God. Like, it just needs to be possibly the most expensive and, like, military-grade piece of equipment that you have.
And then and you then have to change every, like, 30 washes. I can't stand it. I suppose I just never wash it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there you go. That's the loophole.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Wash it once in a year. You're laughing. Nobody else is around you.
Yeah, exactly. Wash it. Perfect. You got 30 years out of it now. You can. I'm sure with good wear, like, I'm sure... And also, they must be ones that clip. So
yeah.
They aren't just one piece, because if you're pulling...
They're pointless.
Exactly. If you can pull them over your head, firstly, you get stuck in them all the time. But if you can pull them, if they're wide enough to pull over your head and your arms, then they're not going to be the right amount around your rib cage.
Yeah.
So they must be a clip back.
Okay.
Really invest in that sports bra. Invest in good... trainers,
flat trainers.
I guess, and get the right socks. Just get all the gear. And also, like, this one's from Debbie Coates, who has actually run the marathon. Mm. And she said, you know, just get gear that you feel good in. Get the good stuff so that you feel like, you know, if you're just out there in your dad's shorts or a t-shirt that you found.
TK Maxx has some good stuff because it's last, and like, who cares about last season's sportswear? It all looks good. So I've got some stuff from there that immediately made me feel like I wanted to go to the gym.
Exactly. You'll just feel like a million bucks. And she also talked about the psychology of it hugely, that you just have to make your mind think whatever distance you are setting out to do that day, whether that's the marathon or the end of the street, you have to tell your mind you're doing double that. So therefore, when you hit that point, you aren't like, oh, thank God, the end. You're like, oh, that's the halfway mark. She
right,
says
yeah.
that when she did the marathon, that when people hit the halfway point, everyone was just like, whoa, easy, easy peasy. Why do people complain about doing a half marathon? Because everyone in that race had already committed mentally to doing twice that distance.
Yeah, okay.
So commit to doing 50 miles if you're running the marathon or whatever. And she also said that people turned the corner right at the finish line.
Yeah.
And someone was shouting like, that's the finish. And so people turned this corner in, and then it turned out there was actually one more corner, and people were just collapsing all over the place, because not because their bodies had given way, but because they had mentally...
Their brains had given way.
They'd mentally committed that that was the end.
Oh.
It's so much your mind, and you just have to crest that hurdle mentally, because you absolutely can keep doing it.
Amazing.
Hang in there. Believe in yourself. Find your love for it. Don't just force yourself to do it, and don't...
Relax. When you're doing it.
Don't make it a thing that you have to do. Make it something that you want to do and love doing. And
if there's like apps help, you know, like the run trackers, if they help,
oh my goodness,
that.
Yeah,
don't tell me about it on your social media.
I know, definitely don't tell anybody. And as if we get a summer, guys, if we get any sunny day, do consider like running to work, because then it'll feel like you'll be the smuggest person in the office.
Definitely.
If there's any sort of if you can leave your work stuff there the night before, and if there's any sort of showering facility, running with anything on your back is going to be a nightmare. So
yes,
if you
don't do that. Yes, because then that's good, because you've got like an A to B and you have to be there.
So you have to keep going.
No. So, good stuff. I feel like
I'm ready to run.
Yes, I actually do feel like I may start running again. I mean, by again, I mean like that one time I got chased by a bee, and then now. So maybe I'll try it again.
See if we can get another bee in here.
But yes, if you are running, if you start running, if you have like, you know, if you just run to the end of the street, tweet us. We will give you some hand applaud emojis and keep you going.
Yes.
Because I'm very impressed with anyone that starts. Tweet me at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
At Tessa Coates.
What to say about that?
No, nothing. I got nothing. Really. Nothing at all.
Email us, podcast@thedebrief.co.uk. And if you like the podcast, then do give us a review, because that does help so much. And
rate and subscribe.
Rate and subscribe and
write
review.
To us with any suggestions for things you'd like to hear about.
Yes.
And crucially, guys, get yourself onto theeconomist.com/debrief and go get a copy.
Go get a copy of The Economist, guys, and just get more woke.
Get more woke, guys.
Facts, not noise.
Ooh, yes.
Facts, not noise. See you next week, guys. Have a lovely week.
Bye.